Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Freedom Wire, your last bastion for free speech on the internet. Sean Connor, F-bomb is somewhere gallivanting around in Europe.
Europe.
Trying to get up all their ideals and maybe start his own socialistic utopia somewhere. I don't know. But he is not here. But he will be back probably next week at some point. Before we get into the podcast, please take just a moment to like and share the video if you can. Also, if you haven't subscribed to the podcast, do so now. Also, please hit the notifications button. I think it's like right there, over there.
Right over there. Behind you somewhere.
It's behind me somewhere. That way you know whenever a new episode is up. And please comment below. Today we will be talking about some corruption and some of the whole Ukraine gate is revealing.
Shine light on a lot more than just Trump.
Yeah, a lot. Well, nothing on Trump.
Nothing on Trump. So that's where they wanted it to go.
Comment below whether you think this will take down Hillary, Obama, Biden. Who's going down when all is said and done? Please comment below. Also, if you like any of the swag that you see here, the hats, the shirts, the freedom mugs.
$9.99 on freedomwire.com. Go to the store tab at the top.
Yeah, we also have freedom tank tops. I know summer's over and a lot of...
if you live in Florida, it's never summer year-round.
It's always tank top weather. So please go to, like Connor said, go to freedomwire.com. All right.
Corruption
and impeachment, blah, blah, blah. Thanks for watching. No. But it seems like that's what we're at. We're on like a broken broken record of BS is what it is. The good news is, again, the Democrats hung their hat on this whole Ukrainian collusion with Trump. And what's happening is they're finding out that it's collusion from everybody but Trump. I mean, we have Biden getting $3 million, his son getting a job making $86,000. There's reports of Nancy Pelosi's son making money in Ukraine as well.
Reports of hacking in favor of Clinton and election interference, all sorts of stuff going around. It's insane.
It's almost like nobody in the Democrat Party talks to each other. Yeah. It's like maybe they should have a meeting once in a while and say, hey, you don't have anything going on in Ukraine, do you? Because we're about to blow this place up.
You'd think with all of them being involved in the Ukraine in different ways that eventually they would have run into each other doing stuff over there.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing here?
Yeah. Biden's walking out of the office. Hillary's walking in. Oh, what are you doing here? Nice to see you. But you'd expect them to at least have some sort of coordination on this, or when there's rumblings of the whistleblower report's going to come out, maybe people start putting their affairs in order to not look as bad.
I would love to know what the rate of the buying of Tums and Rolaids and all antacid medicines are in D.C. Because I guarantee you, the actual doctor.
Oh, gastroenterologist.
A gastroenterologist would clean house in D.C.
Oh, for sure. Everybody's got ulcers up there.
Everybody's bleeding from something. So one of the things that I discovered today was what Rush Limbaugh talked about recently was former head of the
national intelligence
community. He said, you know, we were just doing what the president told us to do.
Referencing
Obama. This is, well, if you know who James Clapper is, you know he was the head of national intelligence under Obama. He talked about it and he said we were doing what the president, what were we supposed to do? Ignore what the president told us to do? No, you weren't, but you probably should have questioned why the president had decided to run an investigation that included Donald Trump when there was nothing that tied him to Russia whatsoever, except a fake the Steele dossier that everybody knows was, and this, it's like, it's crazy. Everybody knows this thing was commissioned by the DNC and the Hillary campaign. Everybody knows this.
Nobody's willing to talk about it, though. They always are quick to just put down anything that shines negatively on them. If you recall, Cory Booker a while back said, don't even question Biden and Hunter Biden about their Ukrainian things. It's unfair to ask them questions right now when we should be focusing on Trump. You're supposed to focus on everybody. That's the point.
Well, I just saw a report from a reporter from MSNBC or CNBC that said Trump should be impeached regardless of whether he committed a crime or not. This is...
And that's honestly the most honest thing they could have said. They don't care what he did. They just don't want him in office anymore.
But don't they understand but what impeachment is? Impeachment?
No, they don't. That's the problem.
Impeachment is accusing the president of high crimes and misdemeanors.
Mm-hmm. And even then, there's certain things that are crimes that aren't impeachable offenses. There's a fine line there, but there's technically things you can do in office that would fall into, you know, the illegal category, but aren't impeachable.
Yeah, but you say that, but they impeached Clinton for having a little dalliance in the Oval Office. I don't think that should be impeachable.
That doesn't sound
like an impeachable offense to me.
It doesn't, and they lumped in the whole perjury thing and all that stuff there. But you see that they're trying to redefine what constitutes impeachment, where now it's not just, oh, he did something illegal, and then they found that, oh, he didn't actually do anything illegal. So then they're going to move the goalpost up to, well, we just don't like him. So whatever it takes to get him out.
You know what's funny is I almost think that a lot of the people, a lot of the Democrats, the House Democrats, I don't even think they understand what impeachment means. Maxine Waters has been crying for impeachment before he was even in office. She was saying he must be impeached. She didn't even know why.
Yeah, they've been talking about it from day one just because they don't like him.
And I think that's what they think. I think they think that's what impeachment means, is we can try to get this guy out of office because we don't like him.
Yeah, and look at how many people have not been in office since a president was brought up on impeachment stuff. The last one was Clinton. There's a lot of new people in both houses of Congress who don't, or who weren't there for that.
Maxine Waters was, I think.
Yeah. Well, you got a few. Pelosi was there too, and a couple other the old guard of the Congress, but a lot of people who are new, like AOC, who is one of the driving forces behind, like, we got to get him impeached. But what does she know about impeachment?
Does she know about anything?
that's true, but specifically on impeachment, she hasn't been around in politics long enough to know what goes into that. They're just throwing around a buzzword that sounds good.
Yeah, it really is mind-boggling. It's like anybody, like I was thinking about something as far as being friends with somebody on the left, and it's like I get along with plenty of people on the left as long as we don't bring up politics. And it's not that, the thing is it's not that we're right and they're wrong or vice versa. What it comes down to is we think they're blind, they think we're blind. And you cannot have a conversation with somebody about how beautiful the landscape is if both of you believe the other is blind.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening. It's like, that's what's happening is, and it's like, you can see, it's like a lot of the stuff that's coming out is like political moves. Like it's just as much chess as any business I've ever seen. Like the news, like how, like, they focus on one thing and then take away another. Again, nobody's talking about Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, no one has talked about Epstein, including us, in a while, because there's so much other stuff going on.
But again, nothing is really going on.
Yeah, we sound like a broken record on the podcast sometimes, because for the last 3 weeks, we've had the same impeachment stuff to talk about. And it's really getting frustrating to not have new news. So if you could make some new news happen out there, that would be fun. But they just recycle the same thing over and over again and pretend like it's something brand new. So they're distracting from other things going on around the world. When was the last time you really heard anything about the Hong Kong protests? Well, those are still going on.
I heard about the it's actually turning violent now as far as
we protesters heard
being shot.
There was video of a protester being shot, but between then and when was the last update you heard from that? It's still going on. It's still a thing we should, you know, focus on and see what's up, because it's a big thing going on internationally.
Yeah,
and just talking about impeachment.
And they're talking. Everybody, a lot of people are saying that China might have to actually get involved with their military as far as clear. This has been going on. The whole thing in Hong Kong has been going on.
It entered its fourth month.
Yes. That's a long time for these people to be protesting.
There's a pro-democracy uprising going on around the world, and all anyone in America seems to be talking about is Trump and the Ukraine.
Like, yeah.
There's other issues that need to be discussed.
Like, and we should be
focusing on them.
America should be, if anything, if there's any issue we should be getting involved in, it should be what's happening in Hong Kong. We should be inserting ourselves in that conversation. That is the defense of liberty and democracy that we are sworn to protect.
Maybe not inserting ourselves with boots on the ground right now.
No.
Inserting ourselves to where America's presence is known, in that we stand behind pro-democracy
and
movements.
You say, and look, I'm not going to rule boots on the ground out.
I wouldn't rule it out, but that's a whole other.
That's a few steps down the road, obviously. Mm-hmm. Many steps down the road, hopefully. But we should get some bureaucracy going over there. At least, you know, get our ambassadors involved. You know, start getting some like, I'm surprised there's not any Chinese Americans in the House or in the Senate that aren't paying attention to what's going on in Hong Kong.
But instead, what you see is the international community seems to just be bowing and scraping to China. There was just a thing with the NBA where I believe it was either the coach or the owner of the Rockets made statements or tweets about how he supported Hong Kong. And China immediately said they would no longer be doing anything with the Rockets. They were considering cutting ties with the NBA altogether. And the NBA made the guy apologize and basically just bowed before China. It was like, hey, we're sorry about that. We're not going to weigh in on whether we support Hong Kong or not. Please don't stop showing games over there.
So it all comes down to money.
Yeah. They just did the same thing. There was just recently a guy who was a champion in esports, you know, the competitive video game.
Right.
He, I believe, was from Hong Kong. And during an interview, his win in the game competition, he said that he supported the protests, and the game company just cut off his sponsorship, refused to give him his prize money, and banned him from competing for a year. And that's all because they're being critical of China.
How can they ban him from competing? Is it from that company?
Yeah, that company's games. He's not allowed to compete with them anymore. And it's just because of not wanting to make China angry. There's so many people, it just comes down to money, and they're ending up on the wrong side of this.
Yeah, that's terrible. That's terrible. And nobody's paying attention. There's a lot that nobody's paying attention to. I just finished an article. Nobody's paying attention to the genocide of Christians in Nigeria. Did you know last year from June of 2017 to June of 2018, 9,000 Christians were killed in Nigeria. Did you know that?
I didn't hear a single peep from anybody.
You don't hear a single word about it. These are the issues that I believe America should be inserting ourselves into. We shouldn't be inserting ourselves into Saudi Arabia's, you know, beef with whoever. We shouldn't, you know, there's a lot of things. What we need to do is we need to expand our net and get out of the Middle East as much as we can, I guess we should talk about Syria, and start focusing on these real problems. 9,000 people in a year. Thousands of churches destroyed. 1,000 churches destroyed in Nigeria. Nobody knows about this.
You know, for everybody who was always being critical of Trump for being an isolationist and always pulling out of all these international agreements and everything, people didn't like that. The media seems to be very isolationist, and they only want to focus on what's going on in America, specifically with Trump, but they're just keeping it all centered on us. And there needs to come a time where, you know, you pull your head out of your own rear end and take a look around and realize that there's a lot of important stuff going on around the world that people need to know about. And just talking about how, you know, Trump is guilty of something and we're going to keep digging until we find it, that's distracting from other things that we need to hear about. Yeah,
and they're stopping him. Like, who knows? Like, imagine if they would have worked with him. He might have been able to intervene in this whole the Nigerian thing or the Hong Kong, you know, the Nigerian genocide or the pro-communist push in Hong Kong. Maybe he could have done something more if he wasn't so distracted by all this nonsense that's going on.
Yeah.
And I think it's a hard pill for conservatives to swallow, because we understand this and we see this, and it's like there's a lot of like shaking our fists because we can't do anything. Yeah. You know, it's like what we need to do is we need to get everybody in a room and get everybody on the same page. And we're not leaving this room until everybody's on the same page, or all, you know, and some people deserve some gut shots, you know,
probably,
you know what I'm saying? Some gut shots, maybe some smacks.
But back in the early days, people used to hit each other with canes on the Senate floor.
Well, I tell you what,
maybe not go that far, but
I've seen
be open to the idea.
The Japanese parliament doing judo on the floor. I'm 100% behind that. But it's like, it doesn't matter what Trump does. If he does something good, they don't report it. If he does something bad, they bad. If he does something that they can spin as bad, they overreport it.
Whether it's good or bad, the spin is all that matters.
Right.
And you'll see, he'll make a comment that doesn't really seem to fall on either side, and people will immediately grab onto it and spin it to fit a much larger narrative.
Well, think about what I submitted today. You know, he's now has a signed deal with Japan for trade. That helps alleviate some of the pressure off these farmers that weren't being able to sell their goods to China. Nobody said a word. This is a big deal. It's a good deal. Yeah. And it's mutually beneficial for both Japan and the United States. It's not a one-way street like it was with China.
If you want to read more about that, check out freedomwire.com.
Yes.
It's live right now. Nobody was talking about that exactly. It's all about this impeachment stuff. And it's weird, going back to what you're saying about, you know, we're shaking our fists because we can't do anything. You see, real angry conservatives who want things to change, who are frustrated with the way things are, they're not always in positions to change things. Whereas it seems like with a lot of people on the left, the stuff they really, the really angry people are also in places to change things, which is why you end up with, you know, the squad.
Or you got celebrities. Like, see, that's...
Exactly.
Then you got celebrity voices backing up these ridiculous socialistic ideas.
There's no outspoken conservatives who are in a position to influence all these
and
things.
And as soon as they're one starts they're emerging, they're get buried.
And buried. And
James Woods.
People dig through their pasts and find
James
all
Woods, things. John Voight. These guys are older, so they're not hip, they're not cool, so nobody listens to them. Well, but see, James Woods got suspended from Twitter.
Yeah. Chris Pratt is a conservative, and every now and again you see a little thing get brought up where they're like, yeah, he's a conservative and we like him because he was in the Marvel movies, but just a reminder, his church believes this, or he was wearing this t-shirt from a veteran-owned company.
And what was it? It was
a Gadsden flag.
It was t-shirt. They said it was a racist shirt or something like that. And they're like, no.
So there's little pressure where every time somebody that everybody likes who's relevant now pops up, they'll kind of...
And then these people are forced to apologize. James Woods, John Voight, they're not going to apologize. Chris Pratt is in the prime of his career. If he wants to work in Hollywood,
He better not pop his head too far out of the conservative hidey hole.
At some point, though, he's going to have enough money or enough pull where he's going to say, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people don't realize, I've read a few articles on them, but the South Park guys are conservatives.
And South Park was just banned from China, looping back to that. Now, China's version of YouTube and their own private internet thing, if you go on there and search South Park, you will find nothing. That there are no clips, there are no references to the show. It has all been just erased.
It's amazing that they can work that fast. Like
someone who made Stalin angry disappears from a photograph. They've just done that to South Park in China because they dared to criticize them for all their nonsense.
Yeah, that's they worked fast, and I'm amazed that there's not like a loophole around the Chinese. Like I'm sure there's some.
They're a technically savvy country in a lot of places.
I heard they're not though. I heard they really don't have the technology. They're really not that tech savvy.
They have a reputation for it.
They take American ideas. A lot of these companies take American ideas and run with them, but they're not really that tech savvy. They don't really have a lot of that innovation. They have manufacturing skills, but they don't have that innovation, those idea creation or creative idea skills. And that's what some experts say. That'll be the biggest thing that hurts China in this trade war is the fact that they won't be getting any outside technology to copy anymore. So they just don't care. You know, it's like it's weird. I went to Europe, 10, 15 years ago. It's getting so old now. Actually, it was 11 years ago. And there were groups of tourist groups of different, all over the place, but there were some Chinese ones, and you'll be at a food buffet, and when they come in, they have no sense of personal space. They just start taking stuff. It was like if I'm getting pancakes on my plate, they'll start reaching across me and trying to, I was like, with their fork trying to get pancakes, and I'm like, the heck's going on here? They have no concept of, and it's like they just kind of do without thinking, if that makes sense. I don't know if it's part of the culture. I don't know if it's part of being so many people in such a limited areas, because even though China is a pretty big country, a lot of the populations are centralized in around most of the big cities. So it's like, I don't know, but it's interesting how they just do and don't think about or don't feel like they have any consequences, which they really don't. It's their own country. They can do what they want. What are they going to do? Someone's going to take them to international court, and what are they going to do? Okay, so what do you...
We're not paying. Yeah. You're going to go to war with us?
It's a waste of time.
Yeah.
It's a waste of time.
China has a long history of all this kind of craziness going on, and shameless plug here, Ryan F. Baum James did write a series on the history of socialism. Tomorrow's installment will be about China, so hit up FreedomWire if you want to check that out. But they have all this kind of craziness going on that they have this image on the world stage of being incredibly powerful, and this trade war seems to be intended, at least in part, to take them down a few pegs.
And it has been
revealed. Like, they really need a lot of our stuff too.
They're hurting more than we are.
Yeah,
we can get cheaper manufacturing. Again, in the article that I wrote today on FreedomWire.com, Vietnam, Mexico, South Korea. There, we have other options. Mm-hmm. South Korea, not as much because they're kind of more advanced and have a little bit more of a westernized society. So they realize their worth as far as labor is concerned. So, but there are places around the world that we can go to and get that same or at least comparable level of manufacturing for the same price.
And that's the power of a free market. When one provider is not competitive anymore, you take your business elsewhere. And that's the motivation for the provider to be competitive.
And the problem is most people get too comfortable. Yeah. They're like, I don't want to go look for another. Think about it. Think about when you get mad at your phone company. You know what I'm saying?
Too much effort to switch over.
Imagine trying to do that whole thing with your whole business model. Mm-hmm. So I get it.
A thing that people do that I think the analogy works here is when you tell your phone company, all right, I'm switching over to your competitor because what you have isn't working for me anymore, they'll then transfer you over to the customer retention department and make you a better deal in order to keep you from switching. And that's exactly what seems to be happening here. It's either, hey, China, get competitive, or we're going to go elsewhere and you kind of need us.
And all we've asked for is, look, we're buying your goods. Buy ours back. Yeah. That's it. You know, it's not that hard. It's not that, you know, we're doing this for you. You know, we're giving you all of our money. You're giving us your goods, but we have goods too, and you should be buying them from us.
It can't be a one-ended or a one-sided trade deal. We need a back and forth here. Otherwise, it's not benefiting us anymore.
Which is why this Japan deal is a good deal. I read through the deal. It's pretty fair and for both countries. Like, it's like, it's hard to say who's coming out on top. And there's two aspects to it. There's a non-digital deal and a digital deal. So that's interesting that's politics in the 21st century.
But it shows that Trump is willing to make deals with people around the world. He's not, you know, pulling us out and only things in America. He just wants it to benefit America in the long run.
But he's such a bigot and racist. Why would he do business with the Japanese?
I don't get it. Apparently, Asian people don't count for racism things anymore.
And you've heard that, though. Have you heard that about the trade war? Trump got into the trade war with China because he's racist and bigoted. This is not... I just can't believe what comes out of people's mouths.
Quick to write the tweet or publish the article without actually stopping to check what you're writing first.
Nobody vets their stories, especially on social media.
And at the very least, make sure you're spelling things correctly and using the right punctuation, because if you don't, no matter how good your point is, you just sound stupid.
Yeah. Well, most people are stupid. I'm actually, like, I'm really surprised at how stupid a lot of people, like, and this is, I know this is kind of off topic, politics topic, but the bottom line is there are a lot of people out there that just don't have a basic concept of government, of the way government works, business, the way business works, spelling, grammar. You know, they have no idea how any of this stuff works, and these people are allowed to vote.
And then when you put those people in positions of political power, suddenly we get, you know, Green New Deals and things of that nature.
And here, I was reading there's a poll out that under Trump, more Democrats have moved towards socialism under Trump, and the argument is that his rhetoric and his, you know, conservative rhetoric has pushed them further to the left. And I don't think it has anything to do with Trump. I just think it has to do with timing. I think it has to do with the rise of socialism in the Democrat Party, and its appeal over the last year with AOC, Rashida Tlaib, Omar. And I don't even know why these women appeal to people. They are nasty and their behavior is very the left loves to call Trump he's not very presidential.
They're not very congressional.
They're far from congressional.
But for some reason, for them, it's refreshing to see these fresh faces come in with a new attitude on things. That was exactly what conservatives were saying about Trump.
Right. And what none of them are doing, and what here's the thing, none of them are taking care of their districts. That is their job, is to take care of the people in the best interests of their district of which they were elected to represent. They don't care. They're all...
They want to overhaul the entire country. They want to their own districts.
Yeah,
suffers.
It's all about the federal. Like they're looking on a grander scale and focused on Trump. Besides, instead of helping the people that they were hired, I don't care what you call it, elected, but it's hired. That's what that is.
You got picked to do a job.
You got picked to do a job, and they're none of them are doing the job. I don't even like. To me, the three, that's the squad, those three. I don't even remember the other woman's name.
Presley.
Presley. To me, she's not part of the squad. She does nothing. I don't see how she's part of the squad. Maybe because she was a freshman as well and a woman of color, but that's the only tie I see to this.
She kind of hung out with the popular people, so got lumped in there, but...
Yeah, she is the...
She's made a few ridiculous comments of her own.
Yeah.
So she meets the criteria that way, but she's,
but they all
she's
make
not
ridiculous
on the same
comments.
Level
yeah.
as the other three.
No, she's like the fat friend in the group. Even though she's not fat, I'm just saying, like, you know, every group of girls has a fat friend that they're, like, they're friends with, but, like, they're friends with behind closed doors, and when they go to the mall...
She's squad adjacent, basically.
Yeah.
Not... But anyway,
yeah, I'm very politically incorrect when I say she's the fat friend. I don't care. I'm a fat dude. I can say what I want.
Picked up on that yet? You know.
Yeah. And look, it's funny. It's like we talked about it before. I feel like I should be grandfathered into some of these things. You know, this I was raised as that. I don't have to change. I'm not changing to meet society. This is who I am.
I'm the one who was raised in the culture of liberal snowflakes and safe spaces. So
yeah, but I guarantee you. Did you play T-ball?
I did.
Did they keep score?
Yeah.
Okay, you must have been one of the last generations.
Everybody got a trophy at the end because it was like a little...
Ugh.
But they did keep score, and even among the kids, we were aware, like, yeah, our team won. Your team didn't win a single game. We all got the same trophy.
The same trophy?
It was a church league, so it was, you know, just... Bring your 6-7-year-olds and play on a Saturday.
One of my nephews... this was going on 12 years ago now, started 12 years ago, started playing soccer, and I went up to watch his game, and I was like, what's going on here? There's no score. Nobody's keeping score. Like, no, we don't keep score here. It's like watching monkeys run around and fling poo. They're just running back and forth and kicking the ball, and everybody's trying to kick it in a net. But they don't even try to kick it in their net sometimes.
But why do you need to get it in the net?
Then why,
there's no score.
There's no score. That's exactly it. Why am I here? Why am I wasting my Saturday morning and sweating on a field in the middle of Central Florida to watch 4-year-olds kick a ball back and forth?
They don't need your emotional validation. They have a game with no points to validate them. You can just go home.
Exactly. My support there was useless.
Exactly. But anyway, to pivot back to some more political discussion here, moving back to the international events, we have sort of gotten some news recently about things going on an international scale, but only because it pertains to Trump, how he's pulling us out of Syria and how Turkey is interacting with that has people kind of upset.
Yeah, I think Turkey's already moving in to attack the Kurds or have already attacked the Kurds.
I don't know if they've attacked the Kurds yet, but that was a major pressing concern. Like, this is a breaking story as we speak, so there's probably new details coming out that we're not even aware of at this point, just from the time we've been in the room.
And here's my take on this, is I think it's a bad idea. If our presence is keeping people safe... then we need to stay there.
And Turkey already has a bunch of other stuff going on with them where they've proven that they won't abide by certain treaties and they're mistreating people internationally. There's rumors going around that they could potentially be on their way to becoming a rogue nuclear state, where even though they're party to agreements that say they're not going to have nuclear weapons. They might be continuing to develop them anyway.
Oh, wow. So, it's funny. It's funny how those supposedly peaceful Muslim nations tend to disregard these agreements.
Yeah, but Turkey is being somewhat aggressive, and this is the problem. When America goes somewhere and then pulls out suddenly, it creates a massive power vacuum that just lets anybody come right in, and Turkey seems to be, at least in Syria, the ones waiting in the wings to fill that gap there. So, but on the other hand, we do have some stuff from Trump on that was... It's rare that we will critique Trump on the show, but, you know, we call balls and strikes here.
He was an idiot.
Yeah, if he does something stupid...
We're going to call him out on
His tweet, which basically said... There's two parts that have people mad back to back. He said if he sees anything from Turkey that in his, quote, great and unmatched wisdom, which that right there, that was probably said a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but talking about international politics when there's a potential war on the horizon, that's not the time for tongue-in-cheek. And then, you know, if he sees anything in his great and unmatched wisdom that makes him think Turkey's doing what they shouldn't be doing, he will destroy their economy, which didn't really say how. I'm kind of curious.
Well, we all know how it'll be. It would be sanctions.
Yeah, it would be sanctions, but
sanctions and tariffs at the, you know, it would just and look. I don't know how much of Turkey's economy is based on American support.
Who knows?
But if you know, if we can get support from other nations, you know, he could do that. But there needs to be a, you know, again, if our presence is saving lives, and think about it, in Afghanistan, our presence wasn't saving lives anymore. Not on the scale that it would be in Syria. Do you know what, I'm saying?
The Kurds have been our allies in a variety of different conflicts, most recently against ISIS. And to just pull out and leave them at the mercy of Turkey, it's kind of, you know, stabbing our allies in the back there a little bit.
Like, yeah, it's like using them until they're of no use.
They're not useful to us anymore, so we're just going to leave. And with those tweets, that's not a good approach to international politics. That's not how you handle that. So
yeah, so you heard it here first. Well, not first. But we are conservatives, and we don't agree with what Trump is doing as far as Syria. Well, I don't agree. I'm not going to speak for you. Yeah, I don't agree with what Trump's doing.
I would need to know more about it, but as it stands right now, I don't agree with it, and I don't agree with how he's talking about it either. So,
You know, and again, he's not – again, I'm not going to apologize for him. I know he's not perfect. He's human. He's got fingers that he can tweet at will. Sometimes I think he needs a handler. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like
somebody to filter his tweets before they go out. But
Trump,
we'd like to see him do a little bit better in that area.
I wouldn't even be surprised if he had one at one point and then they changed one of his tweets and he got angry and fired him.
Yeah, that was the guy responsible for Covfefe years ago. But we'd like to see, you know, a little bit more of a delicate handling of those kinds of situations, because we've seen what happens when America pulls out of a hostile area in the Middle East before, and it rarely ever goes well for us.
Last time we pulled out fast, well, we had ISIS, but before that we had the Russians that pulled, you know, with Afghanistan back, you know, back in the 80s. So it's like, our presence is needed in some of these places, obviously, and Syria is one of them. It's such a hotbed because not only is our presence in Syria protecting the Kurds, our presence in Syria also is a deterrent for attacks on Israel.
Yeah.
So I don't understand his logic or his thinking, but he is the commander in chief, and I don't know who he's listening to. I don't know who's made the decisions here. But
even in reference to the Christian genocide you were talking about a little bit earlier, there's Christian groups in Syria that are afraid that if the Turks come in, they will either be displaced or just massacred by the Turkish government. And if you, if you've heard of the what was it called? I'm drawing a blank. The genocide that the Turks carried out a couple decades
the Armenian,
ago.
The Armenian genocide.
Yeah, they still deny that that happened and refuse to acknowledge that that was an event that took place where they basically just killed an entire people group because they didn't like them, and that could potentially play out again if this is allowed to continue.
Every day something like this happens, the more and more I go, end times are coming.
Yeah.
Jesus is coming back. It's just one of those things. He's on his way.
It might as well be, because things are pretty bad.
They
can always get worse.
They can always get worse.
But let's hope they don't.
Let's let's wrap it up on Jesus coming back, shall we?
If he doesn't return before Thursday, we'll be back.
We'll be back.
Another episode.
Yeah, because I'm sure I'll be one of the first taken. I'm positive. I'll be gone. Hopefully you liked what you watched here today. Let us know what you think on anything from the willful ignorance of the mainstream media to ignore international problems that do need our attention, or the ignorance of our government of some of these things. Let us know below what you think. Also, take a moment just to like and share the video if you can. Also, if you haven't already, subscribe to the channel and hit the notifications button. That way you'll know whenever a new episode is up. And again, as always, if you want any of our $9.99 15-ounce coffee mugs, the Freedom Tanks, the hats, freedomwire.com. It's always there. So, till next time, stay free, America.